This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 103 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and Johnny Stofko joins me.
What's up, guys? Hope everybody is doing well. This episode Tristan and I are about to bring to the table, it is an example of invest in yourself and see where that gets you.
Yeah, definitely. We've got Vince Del Monte, a guy that I've followed for about 10 years time. You know, he's a big fitness guy out of America, currently living in Canada, actually. But he's got plenty to bring to the table in terms of his own transformation. He used to be a skinny guy, turned into an absolute jack guy, did it the right way too. And he shared his stories and he shares his skills and his knowledge all around the world.
The benefits of this episode that you guys are about to hear is that transformation, the mindset, and the business side of things as well. But Vince is very candid and open about the effort and the time that he puts into his own personal development, whether that's getting mentors and coaches and doing these masterminds. And it's an attribute to his success, where he's gone, where he's been, where he's going. And I think it's going to be a good key point for this episode of the Vision Board for you guys at home.
Yeah, plenty of learning principles from business to investing in yourself, as Johnny's just said, self-development. We'll get plenty of insights into his training and nutrition. So guys, stay tuned now for Vince Del Monte. It makes me wanna creep. I got something for your mind, your body, and your soul. I got something for your mind, your body, and your soul. Our special guest is Vince Del Monte. Vince is one of the best in the fitness industry, where he has had an incredible journey, starting as Skinny Vinny to be now known as the Skinny Guy Savior. His work has been featured in the likes of Bodybuilding.com, Men's Health, Men's Fitness, Maximum Fitness, Inside Fitness, World Physique, Iron Man, and Fitness X. We welcome Vince Del Monte. Vince, welcome to the show, my man.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Vince, yeah, your story and your journey is impressive. We'll get to that in a second. But could you share with our listeners what your 2017 is shaping up to be and what you have plans ahead for the future?
I'm planning on going as slow as possible this year, guys. I'm serious. I'm really trying to like just strip all the fluff, all the things that are essentially pennies, and I'm really just trying to focus on the dollar bills. And it's something that I started last year, not on my own accord, but because of a business partner who's really, really just kind of use this one question I'll kick the call off here with that has really helped us just stay focused on the most essential thing. You know, what's emerged for me over the years is that you don't have to do a lot of things to be successful. You just need to do one thing very, very, very well. And it's such a counterintuitive idea because, you know, we're so obsessed with like how people perceive what we're doing and, you know, what we're doing as opposed to what actually is reality. And we get so easily confused by activity and productivity. And productivity puts money in your bank account. Activity just creates the illusion that you are putting money in your bank account.
Yeah, very true.
So when I said go slow, what I meant by that is, you know, I've discovered that slow equals fast and fast equals slow. So when you go slow, you do something well. So really, it's been just kind of identifying what's the big, you know, what's the big idea that I really want to bring to the marketplace? What are the big ideas that, you know, I'm truly passionate about, that have substance, that can truly offer value, that aren't based on gimmicks? They're not based on hooks. They're not based on, you know, instant gratification and overnight sensational promises or vogue trends. And, you know, I've had to do a bit of soul searching, and they were very clear. And it's interesting because this was all happening while the election in the States was going on. And, you know, I kind of just, you know, watched Donald Trump do his thing. And regardless of what do you think of the guy, I learned a lot from watching this guy just like double down on the same message over and over and over again. And I'm like, it's interesting. And, you know, I've been listening to Gary Vaynerchuk quite a bit talk about, like, you know, he's pretty much available 24 hours a day, whether it's, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, or Facebook. And I just like listening to him over and over and over. And I'm like, he's talking about the same three dang things all the time. He doesn't talk about much other than three things.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about long game. He talks about hustle. He talks about brand. I mean, any way you spin it, he's talking about the same dang three things over and over and over. So, You know, the light bulbs kind of went off for me. I'm like, what are the three things that I really stand for when it comes to, you know, fitness and building my fitness brand? And, you know, it's very clear, you know, the three things that I'm most passionate about are helping guys train according to their muscle fiber type, mass mechanics. So, you know, learning how to do things well, you know, not what you do in the gym, but how you do it from an exercise technique standpoint, and optimizing metabolism, you know, building a healthy and supportive metabolism that allows you to blow your diet here and there without setbacks. And those are the three topics that I'm going to really be doubling down on this year on the YouTube channel, and that will lead to product creation. And that's been, those are probably like the big things going on with me in 2017.
Yeah, Vince, you just gave us a bunch there. So let's stick to, now the three things that you just mentioned that you're going to focus on, is this a reflection of what you see as like a gap in the market, or things that guys aren't doing well? Or is this something that just comes natural and that you're passionate about?
You know, it just happens to be things that, it just happens to be where there is a gap in the market. But I know a lot of people are taught to go look for a gap in the market. But what if you don't have any expertise on that subject matter? You know, what if you see a gap in the market is, you know, nobody's doing exercise technique properly. Well, what if you don't know how to do it either? Well, you can't fill really that gap unless you're an expert. So it all starts back with credibility. So, you know, I'm looking at, and again, if you see an opportunity, well, then spend time, maybe spend a year or two becoming an expert and learning everything there is on that. I mean, I wouldn't say metabolism is my forte, but it's something I spent the last year trying to learn a lot about. So now I'm prepared to speak more about it. So I think it's a bit of both, but I think the expertise, the credibility, the passion, that stuff has to come first before you're kind of like going after the cash.
Yeah, that's, credibility is a great word. Can you just talk a little bit how you originally built your brand and how you got that credibility in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just focused on one person. I focused on one person and one person only. I focused on the skinny guy who's trying to gain his first 30 pounds of muscle. And he wants to do it without drugs, without bogus supplements, and in less time. And it was really just doubling down on that one market, you know, that one person. And realizing that there's always skinny guys who are trying to gain their first 30 pounds of muscle. You know, these are beginners. These are guys that are just getting into things. And that's pretty much how I built my brand. I built my brand being known as the guy that helps guys achieve dramatic, you know, skinny to muscular transformations without resorting to all the BS in the industry. And, you know, I didn't get into fat loss. I didn't get into performance. I didn't get into, you know, supplements. It was just like, I just stay true to helping the skinny guy with that one core problem, that one core desire. And that kind of helped me, you know, create some momentum.
We were interviewing a while back a gentleman, Bedros Koulian, and he brought to my attention, he used certain words such as, and he was speaking to coaches out there saying, you need to create an avatar. And that was the, you know, that was the first time I really thought about it that way. Tris and I are both coaches, and you just put it, it seems like you've had this headspace since you started. This is what created your credibility. Was this headspace given to you from a mentor, or was this something that you figured out on your own that you need to identify who you're speaking to for your content?
Yeah, absolutely. I hired a coach when I was 26 years old because I knew nothing about internet marketing. And the first module thing he took me through was like this triangle, and he taught me, you know, a couple things. He said, Vince, one, we have to figure out what you're most passionate about. Two, we have to figure out what you're most credible about. And then three, he presented this thing around like supply and demand, kind of the same thing. Where's there a gap in the marketplace? And I had a couple different ideas, but the skinny guy was the clearest one because that's where I had my credibility. That's where I was passionate about. And I wouldn't say that, like, when I launched my online fitness business in 2006, there was like 12 other guys who had these long form sales page selling muscle building information products. So my mentor actually said, I think it's a bad idea that you're going into the muscle building market. There's too much competition. But I kind of just said, yeah, but I'm going to beat them.
Yeah, I
really just said it. That's a good thing, because if there's competition, it means, you know, I have a unique story, which, you know, nobody can take away your testimony. So that was essentially, I pursued that market because at the end of the day, it's what you make of it, right? It's ultimately what you make of it. I think something that I kind of understood from my athletic background too, even if you don't have the best genetics, if you got work ethic and passion and dedication, you can still rise to the top. So at the end of the day, it is that grind, it is that hustle, it is that guy that works harder. And I just realized, like, okay, equal level playing ground, just going to outwork these guys. You know, we all have stories. We all have, like, none of our information is that much better than the other guys. Like, I didn't build my brand because my information is superior. I was just more persistent and more relentless, and I didn't give up, and I was just more aggressive in my marketing.
Just taking you back to the origins, Vince, when you were skinny Vinny, what made you pick up the barbell for the first time?
Oh, you just answered it yourself, man. Who wants to be nicknamed Skinny Vinny? I mean, to be honest, I mean, kind of tying back to your past question too, like, I have that. I know what those core desires are of the skinny guy. You know, I know what it's like to go out, you know, to the clubs and watch your buddies like get a ton of attention from girls, and it's not because of their personality.
Yeah.
You know, I know those desires of, you know, walking into a room and not getting noticed. You know, I know those, you know, desires of getting, you know, going doing an arm wrestle in front of a, you know, hot girl and getting your arm slammed and her telling you you would be so much hotter if you had bigger arms. Like, I've lived that. I know what it feels. I remember it like it was yesterday. So, you know, that was kind of, you know, tying, looping up what you asked me just prior to it. But, what was the question there?
Why you picked up the barbell? And actually, where were you when you first picked up your barbell?
Yeah, just to escape the nickname Skinny Vinny. And I just, you know, the thing was, though, I became a long distance runner, you know, in those skinny days, you know, my high school days, university days. I got very, very good at endurance sport, competed in triathlon, track and field, cross country running. So I found this new identity in being a really good runner. And I went to university. I got a degree in exercise science. I ended up actually becoming roommates with a couple of the most buff dudes on campus. I kid you not. And these were the guys the girls wanted to be with and the guys wanted to hang out with. I kind of lived vicariously through these guys. And I'm like, holy cow, this muscle really does, you know, gets you a lot of attention. Wow. And these guys are confident. They seem like they got, you know, they're cool. And I kind of like was fascinated with like, what would happen if I stopped running, if I took all this effort I put into this endurance sport and transferred it to a barbell? You know, could I gain some weight? Could I gain some muscle? So, you know, that was another big driver, you know, the curiosity factor. And then the third thing was when I got into the fitness industry as a personal trainer at the age of 23 after my degree, I mean, I didn't look like a personal trainer. So, you know, not really good for business trying to, you know, sell fitness when you're, you know, weak, scrawny little guy. So I was also driven to, like, you know, build a clientele and look like a personal trainer. So those things all kind of aligned at the same time.
Early on, when you had that realization that you were going to outwork people to get to where you want to go, do you feel that work ethic is something that you could learn,
or like a learned behavior through past experiences, obviously, but do you ever see it in an example of, man, if this guy just had the work ethic, he'd be where he wants to go? Do you think it ever gets to a point where you could work on it, or depending on your life's journey, you just either have it or you don't?
Yeah, it's related to one word, environment. It definitely can be learned, right? If all your friends are badasses, you're going to become a badass. You know, if all your friends are lazy asses, you're going to become a lazy ass. So when I was a runner, you know, I was introduced to a world of pain. You know, long distance running is not something you do for fun. I mean, it's kind of crazy. You wonder why people do competitive long distance running. It's very painful. It's very uncomfortable. So it builds up incredible stamina. And I think that's where I gained it. But I do feel like, you know, I'm looking at some of the runners. I wasn't like a world-class runner or anything. I was, to be honest, a little above average. You know, I was an above average runner. But because I was running with, you know, world-class runners, really, really good guys, you know, I was able to experience more of my potential. I got faster. I got better. So if somebody doesn't have stamina, it's because they haven't put themselves in an environment that's outside their comfort zone to be forced to develop it. So if you're like, man, I'm just like lazy, I'm like, well, then freaking go join the army. You know, get into an environment where you're going to be forced to improve or you're going to die.
Did you catch Gary on Joe Rogan this past week, Vaynerchuk?
I didn't know.
Yeah, Gary V was just on the Rogan podcast, and there, you know, it was hit or miss, but there was a couple awesome sound bites when Gary got on a rant. And the way he was describing, and these are things that you already know about auditing, I think it's more important for the young coaches out there listening, about auditing your circle, basically saying, you know, every now and then figuring out who's pulling you back, who's supporting your cause, and then being able to pull the trigger on like separating yourself from the general pop. Do you feel that this has been something always easy for you to understand? Because I know some guys struggle with it, allowing their circle to hold them back when, you know, realistically they need to get to where you want to go. You have to separate yourself from that.
Yeah, I definitely think I can certainly relate to the struggle. I think it comes down to what your goal and focus and priorities are in life. You know, when you're a varsity athlete, you know, if you're not performing, you get kicked off the team. So there's a consequence, right? Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't living in context to having any consequences to their poor decisions. So until something bad happens because of that environment, they don't really, like, wake up and, you know, see the reality. So I'll give you an example. You know, my mid-20s, I started making a lot of money from my online business. You can imagine I also bought my first home. So you can imagine a single guy with his own home, living away from home for the first time, making a lot of money. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. I mean, depending on
chaos,
you know, so I'm sure you guys can use your imagination. So, that though led to a lot of late nights. You know, there was one point where I realized I was spending over $1,000 a week, you know, dating multiple girls at once, and all of a sudden now you're gaining this bad reputation and you're like, wait a second, this wasn't the path I intended, or now all these other things are coming along with that, and you're like, I don't think this is where I want to go. But you know, a couple detours, you hit the, you know, as long as you, I mean, fortunately I have an amazing family and I've got great brothers who kind of like, you know, whip me back into shape and like didn't let me go down that path too far too long. So I definitely can relate to the struggle and the challenge, because while there's some things that are like, you know, you're paying the price for later, they are definitely fun in the moment. And it's pretty hard to, like, if you don't have people in your life, you have your best interests at heart, it's definitely easy to go down those paths that take more from you than give back. Yeah, man, it really is environment, man. I mean, I don't think I've never met anybody who's not been in the right environment who's been like, I don't like this. It's like, crap, why don't I surround myself in these kind of environments more often, you know? It's like a mastermind, right? You're like, man, this is awesome. We should do this more often, you know? So I know that if things aren't going well in my life, it's likely because I need to connect. There's power in being around other men, and, you know, iron sharpens iron. So I think it's really important for men to be around the right men who have growth, growth, and, you know, they want to fight for the right things in life, and they expect more from themselves. That's so, so important. I definitely think guys can quickly, get back on track by just simply getting into the right environment. You know, it's like things can change. So just like things can go downhill really quickly, and if you're in the wrong environment, things can go uphill very quickly once you get in the right environment.
Just to expand a little bit on that, Vince, we spoke about environment and things like that. In terms of the people directly in your inner circle, can you just share who those people are and what they do for you?
Oh, dude, I don't think I've ever been asked that. That's a great question. So, you know, I look at life in, you know, different contexts, you know, body, business, brain. So, you know, in terms of body, you know, I've got a real circle of elite dudes that I can go to and that I learn from. Coach Ryan Fanley, who runs all my one-on-one personal training. So, you know, he's a guy that I consult with before I write programs to ensure the quality of the work I put out there is at a very high standard. He was coached by Coach Charles Poliquin, one of the world's best strength coaches. Yeah. You know, IFBB pro Ben Pekowski, he's a brilliant dude when it comes to mechanics and optimizing movements. And, you know, I asked him, where do you learn from? And he told me, Tom Purvis, resistance training specialist. I go to the guys that the experts go to. So yeah. I always try and get to the source. I'll pay for that plane ticket to go to the event, to go get that certification, to spend time with them one-on-one. So I have a therapist here in Toronto. His name's Eric Seifert. He treats me with this technique called muscle activation techniques. And this guy, he just teaches me so, so much. So I have a very elite network of guys I learn from, a guy named Scott Abel, who's a metabolism guy. So there's a lot of people that I have in different circles. Then that's my body circle. Then in my, business circle, you know, I have a lot of dozens of guys that some I pay. You mentioned Bedros Koulian earlier. Bedros, I was in his mastermind years ago, and I you know, pay to play, $18,000 for the entire year to go to three 2-day events.
Yep.
And, you know, I was in his mastermind. We talked about Craig Ballantyne before. I think he hit record, $10,000 a year for him. You know, I've hired a lot of people over the years. When it comes to business, I kind of like rotating coaches. You know, I like to kind of learn from different guys because different guys have different expertises.
Yep.
One coach actually became a business partner. And somebody, he's kind of the guy I was referencing at the start of the call, who kind of helps steer the ship back into that, you know, more right direction, but a slower pace, quality pace. So I have a lot of people on the business side of things, and that actually probably leads to a really interesting discussion where, you know, to build a business, you have to really identify, you know, a concept that he introduced to me called your superpower. And I always, you know, when I meet guys who are trying to grow businesses, I try to identify, like, what is your superpower? You know, if you and I were to get in business together, what's the thing that you're bringing to the table that if you stopped doing it would stop the business? And identifying your superpower is one of the most important things. And, you know, for me, it was tricky because, you know, I got into this industry as a fitness expert, but then I quickly realized that, you know, to actually grow the business, it doesn't matter how smart you are. You have to know how to market it. So then I became a fitness marketer, and I almost became too aggressive of a fitness marketer. And, you know, I was great for business, but, you know, the quality kind of starts to drop a bit and you lose your reputation as a fitness expert first. And they're like, Vince is just, he's a good fitness marketer. He's his fitness information is okay, but, you know, he knows how to market his stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want that reputation. I actually want to be known as a fitness expert first. But that required me to find somebody who could come on board as the guy that runs all my fitness marketing, all the behind the scenes stuff, who's smarter than me. And when I found that guy, he obviously wasn't cheap. You know, I paid him $15,000 a month for an entire year to start growing certain aspects of my business so that I can go back to focusing on being a fitness expert, creating better content, better videos, and creating more value. And it really freed me up. My YouTube channel started growing again last year. Social media started growing. Lists started growing just because people are like, oh, this guy, when they listen to me, he's like, oh, he's got something to teach. This guy, oh, it sounds good. But that was a process. You know, this is years and years. So I think when it comes to building the team, I've got a lot of people that allow me now to do my superpower, which is to like teach and to educate, you know, to inspire, to create great content, to create great programs, to get transformations for my students. But that's taken a long time to find those people to support those roles so that I have the team time and freedom.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
And on the contrary to all of the people that you have that you can learn from, who is the one person right now with where your brand and business is that you would like to learn from, and what would you ask him?
Holy crap, that's a good question. I was about to hire Bedros again, but holy crap, he's expensive. He charges $50,000 a year.
Yeah, he does. We'll chip in.
I'm probably going to hire Bedros later this year because he's got some skill sets that I think would really help me with some goals I have. Hire these guys. I don't know if I so much go for knowledge, but more for, yeah, they're going to give you some tactics, but I think it's more like the confidence in, hey, this is the right thing to do. This is the right project to focus on. If you do this thing well, it's going to produce an ROI. So it's more for that confidence and for that, you know, skin in the game. But there's certainly, see, at the end of the day, like, I know what I need, but I know, like, it's not a piece of information that I don't have. Like, for example, I'll give you a specific example. One of the things I know that will make a big difference in my business is being able to crack the paid traffic code, to be able to make paid traffic convert on a lot of different platforms like Facebook and Instagram and Google. And there's a lot of people out there with that skill set to do that. But at the end of the day, it's not the skill set that I need. It's a page that actually converts. And that's going to come down to just like tracking and testing and just refocusing and just, you know, keep filling gaps and like holes. And so like, I know the process. I know it takes so much freaking time. So I don't know if that specifically answers your question, but I think that's kind of like the direction I would go in.
Thank you for that. Yeah, sometimes you get, you know, I want to talk to Warren Buffett and ask him what the, you know, return, that sort of thing, but yours is way more intrinsic, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of guys, you know, I love, there's so many guys I listen to and learn from, but I don't know, like, what question I would ask them in terms of, like, needing knowledge. It's more like validation that I'm moving in the right direction.
Yeah, that's something that's super, super important, that validation. Tristan and I, we're both coaches, and we're all, you know, you want to be innovative. And I think sometimes what holds innovation back is we're not as confident in taking that risk. So to have that, it's super beneficial.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I offer one-on-one business coaching too. I charge a lot and people sign up. And one of the biggest things they tell me is like, I just need to know that the path I'm going down is the right one.
Yeah.
And they just need that validation. Like, no, dude, you're doing the right thing. Like, guys, the podcast is the right thing. You know, you listen to Lewis Howes. It's like, you know, he spent 4 years before he really got that critical tipping point. And it's just like, you're on the right train. You just have to enjoy the ride now.
Yeah. So just to sum things up, it's more like it's very much an accountability thing. Someone to actually, you know, keep you accountable when you don't know yourself sometimes when you're in a path by yourself.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We talked about Gary Vaynerchuk earlier there. And, you know, one of the things that he's helped give me clarity on, which I would probably ask him, but that he's kind of answered. I mean, it's all he talks about on all this stuff. But, like, you know, building a brand versus a transaction business. I mean, admittedly, I have a transaction business. It's a very good transaction business, but, I mean, it's not like a sellable business, I don't think. I don't have a brand. So he's been forcing me to, like, kind of, like, look at how, you know, ask questions. Okay, what would that look like for me based on where I am, and where would I have to, you know, how would I have to pivot to start moving that in that new direction? So I would probably try and get clarity on, I'd probably want to get clarity on, like, hey, this is the brand I want to move towards. This is what I'm doing right now, moving me in that path. I think that would be kind of the question I want to ask.
You wrote actually a great article to finish the year, the 40 things that you learned in 2016. So I just wanted to pick your brain on a couple of key points in that, if that's okay, Vince.
Yeah, sure.
Just the first one, you actually hired, going away from business coaching, you actually hired a fitness coach as well. Coach Ryan, I'm pronunciation. How do you pronounce his surname?
Fanley.
What'd you learn from Ryan this year, and why'd you hire Ryan?
I actually hired Ryan. I rehired him this year. He wrote my programs for 2 years straight after I had my elbow surgery. So 2013, 14, 15. I rehired him at the end of last year. What didn't I learn from Ryan? He writes the most badass programs ever. That's his skill set. That's a superpower. He just knows how to write a really badass program. When you get the program sent to you, it feels like the same feeling like you get when you sit in a Maserati. Like, you can tell, like, mm-hmm. An old Italian guy spent a lot of time thinking about every single detail.
Yeah,
that's cool.
In this car, like, this was not like pulled off in an assembly line. Like, there has been a craftsman, a real craftsman, with somebody with true expertise, sat down with a blank slate and created this. It's like, this is a Michelangelo product. Like, this is, feel like the difference.
That's awesome.
So, that's kind of like when you get a program from him, that's what you feel. It's like, yeah.
But he's created an experience for you, and that's hard because you're the one that usually creates the experience, and all of a sudden you're getting the experience. That must be a great feeling.
It's amazing because it also gives me an expectation to create for my customers.
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, Vince, why do you hire people? I'm like, because he can write a better program for me than I can write for myself. That's not a weakness. That's a strength to be able to admit that and identify that. So, you know, Ryan freely gives me, you know, his best, you know. And, tactical stuff. I mean, he's taught me so much. I mean, Ryan comes up with all these cool techniques, and, you know, a lot of them come through in programs and videos, you know, constant tension time sets, you know, total rep rest pause and cluster sets and omni sets. And I mean, the list goes on, but he just, you know, that's his superpower. You know, that's what I told him, like, Ryan, just keep writing programs. I mean, and, you know, our one-on-one coaching business, is our retention rate is pretty crazy, because when people get a taste of his program, they're like, he's like, I got to become a better marketer. I'm like, no, you don't. Just keep writing programs. Let me do the marketing, and the people are going to keep coming back. It's like, so yeah, it's embracing your superpower.
Wow. I have never heard anyone break down programming so eloquently like you just did. And I feel if every coach listening right now looks at it with that same framework, the industry definitely would be moving in the right direction. That was well said.
And I told Ryan, Ryan, you're quality control, man. Your quality control. My job is to market this. And that's the problem, right? When you get the same guy who's trying to market it and produce the product, I mean, quality drops, right? Because he's spread thin. But when you got one guy, his job is to produce results and to create a unique experience, a customized experience for that individual based on the feedback we request before we write the program. I mean, that he needs that time, and he also needs to be incentivized well, right? So there's a number of things that have to be in play for that to happen. The problem is you got these young kids on YouTube trying to cash in overnight, you know, creating these crappy programs that they ripped off who knows where, off somebody else or bodybuilding.com, and they're, you know, saying they're custom programs and they're not. Yeah. Oh my God. And there's like spelling errors on like the most basic words. You're like, oh my God, this is horrendous. And these guys are passing as experts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm like, to have somebody of his stature doing the programs, you know, and when they get a taste of that, then they get a taste of this, man, they're like, they never go back.
Yeah. What was, Ryan, what did he, was it a 6-day split? Like, I love getting insights into how you're training. So can you just give us a few?
Yeah, man. My latest training split he designed for me was so, so cool. It was a high-frequency program, and I trained 6 days a week. Again, this is all in context. Like, he's gone we've done everything from double-day training to, like, training shoulders 4 times in the first 3 days of the week to full-body workouts. So, like, we've been all over the map. So just don't look at this program in terms of, like, this is how I always train. This is a training cycle. This is one training cycle of many. So we were experimenting with a high frequency training program where I alternated upper body and lower body. So I did upper body Monday, Wednesday, Friday, lower body Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And each workout only had 1 to 2 all out sets per exercise. And about 75% of the workout was just warming up for these all out work sets. And, you know, that was the essential premise of the product, the program. And there was days where I was lifting very, very, very heavy. I was setting personal bests almost every week. And then there were other workouts where I was doing like crazy, crazy high reps, short rest periods, occlusion training with, you know, blood flow restriction training. And on other days, so we were stimulating the 3 mechanisms of muscle growth, which are muscle damage, muscle metabolic stress, and mechanical tension. So we were just kind of we had different days dedicated to different stimuli and using different techniques. And just the intensity was very high, and the frequency was very often, but the overall volume was very low. So it ended up being a very effective program for me.
And this is the danger for me having my clients listen to the show, because now my programming, I definitely need to step my game up. That because I think we get caught in this framework of, or this mindset of one way of doing something, or just getting comfortable. I run my business out of a commercial gym, so I'm not working with pro athletes. And the programming side is the one side that I really, really enjoy. Like, you get to create that experience. Looking back from everything that when you started as 23 out of school to what you've learned now, we like asking a question of advice to the younger self. So take it back when you had that house, you're partying at its peak, and you are you now. What would you tell that younger version of Vince Del Monte in terms of advice?
Oh, man, it's so hard to say, because, like, those were fun days, right? Like, I'm not going to say, oh, don't go out and have fun. I guess I would say, you know, make some small mistakes, but just don't make the big mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, micro, you know, micro losses, macro gains.
Yeah. So, I mean, I invested heavily into myself at an early age. I think I just don't see people, I shouldn't say this. I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys listening to your podcast invest in themselves. The fact that they're listening to this, you know, they should pat themselves on the back, because a lot of people don't do what they're doing right now, which is, like, investing in self-education. And I would just keep taking that a step further. Like, you know, set aside 10% of your income, and I don't care if you're living paycheck to paycheck, still set aside 10% of your income into personal growth, whether that be a mentor, a coach, or whether that be a seminar. But you should always be growing. You know, I always say, if you're not growing, you're dying. You know, the more you know, the more you grow. And Warren Buffett says, the more you learn, the more you earn. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, has given my brand value and substance, because people are like, holy crap, this guy's always investing in himself. And it's cool, because you end up attracting the right kind of people. I mean, people are like, oh, you're just saying that because you want me to buy your stuff. I'm like, yeah, what's your point? I'm exactly saying that. You're a sharp cookie. That's exactly what I'm saying. If you're not willing to invest in yourself, I don't want you in my world. You're not the kind of person that I would hang out with. So yeah, you attract that. You project your beliefs on to people based on how you want them to act. And because I can preach that, because it's true. I do invest in myself. I spend so much money. My parents are always like, Vince, why are you spending so much money? You're like, don't you already know this stuff? And I don't just invest in the education. I invest to, like, hold myself accountable. And because, and when people see you investing, they see that as value. You know, when I tell people I hired Bedros for $18,000 a year, you know, I was in Ryan Levesque's $15,000 a year mastermind. I was in Craig Ballantyne's, you know, $10,000 a year mastermind. When I pitch them my rates, they're like, okay, I'm getting access to Vince, who has access to those guys. Those guys' information as well. So by investing in myself, I make myself more valuable. And people are like, yeah, this guy's like, I'm going to get access to all these people that I couldn't get direct access to. So It's just been, I don't know, you know, where it came from. I just, you know, from an early age, it just kind of made sense to me. And, you know, as I started moving along, you hear Bedros say stuff like you got to pay to play. And it's very true. It is. At a higher level, you know, there is a price to kind of get access to certain people. And but if you're willing to pay it, you're going to shortcut your results and you're going to get an ROI back. I'll tell you a quick, funny story. This is actually really kind of crazy. Me, Joel Marion, John Romanello, Craig Ballantyne, John Benson, Kareem Samori. There's a good group of us. We went to Frank Kern's event years and years ago. And Jordan Belfort. You guys know Jordan Belfort, yeah, the Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
That, long story short, we all got ripped off by him.
Oh, wow. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. Yeah, so we signed up for this course that he pitched at Frank Kern's event, traffic, or what was it called, mass control. It was a $5,000 event. Joel convinced us to go, and we're like, okay, cool. We went, and it was really, really good. He taught his system, his straight line persuasion system. But then at the end of that event, he pitched another event, which was supposed to be more intimate, more detail, and it was another $5,000. And we all thought like, oh, we got it. This was a great event. Let's go to this one. And when we got there, it was a 3-day event. The first day was like, we sat there and we listened and was like, this is a repeat of the last event. And then we're like, okay, he's probably getting into the good stuff on day two. Day two rolls around. Midway through, we're all looking at each other like, he already taught all this. So where's the new content coming? Next thing you know, he pretty much did the same event that he did at the other event. And wow. And we were like, what do we do? And, you know, one of the guys kind of just said, dude, I mean, you know, we got to go rectify this. Obviously, this isn't right. But at the same time, we're joking around. Like, if you can't make your money back from what we just learned, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And that lesson has always stuck with me that, you know, it all comes back to, like, what you make of the investment. You know, it's not on the other person to give you your money's worth. It's about you taking one thing that you learned from that thing and cashing in on it. And that all comes back to personal responsibility. And I think that was like, you know, sometimes I always like, say I invest in a coach who maybe if you look at it from a different angle, you're like, hey, you know, he's a little overpriced. He's good, but he's not that good. I would look at it from a positive, not from a negative. I would say, okay, how do I make my money back on what this guy's teaching me, even though it's so advice? And so it's a different mentality. You're always looking to cash in. You're always looking to cash in on everything you learn. And, you know, I think that's one mindset that's really helped me out a lot and I try to share with the younger guys.
We hope you're enjoying the episode with Vince Del Monte. If you haven't yet, please go back and listen to the episodes with the likes of Joe DeFranco, Charles Poliquin, Bedros Koulian, Craig Ballantyne, John Romanello, John Berardi, and many, many more. Please subscribe to the Vision Board podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now back to the show. Yeah, just to stick on investing in yourself, I know in that article we spoke about earlier, you spoke on one of the points of actually going to bed earlier and how it's kind of changed how you're working out now in the morning. Can we just talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of sleep and how what changes that's brought into your life?
Oh man, everything. I mean, there's the whole, you know, all the physiological stuff you don't want to bore people with, but you know, going to bed earlier just allows me. So, I mean, I got two kids, right? So context. So yeah. I have to get in my workout still. I got to be back in time to help my wife, because if I'm gone at the gym working out, she's home waking up with the kids every day. Yeah, that's going to create some tension, friction. She's like, you know, she's like, that's not the easy part. You know, so it's, you know, getting up earlier and getting back earlier. Well, for one, it's just better for, you know, family dynamics. Two, I've created this like created this magic time in the morning now where, you know, I get up early, I have my pre-workout shake, my pre-workout supplement stack, I go to the gym, I get into this amazing state, I have an awesome workout, and then I do my first social media post when I'm in this awesome state and highly caffeinated state. And, you know, I take some other stuff, nootropics and stuff that just really gets my brain like in this amazing state where I get all these ideas.
Alpha that, brain. You know,
yeah, some of the stuff in there that's, some other stuff, alpha GPC.
Okay.
I take acetyl-L-carnitine and L-theanine. There's a couple products I take that really get me jacked up in a good way. So then I get that all done, and my drive to the gym is a bit of a trek. So I listen to some podcast stuff, so I get my brain. It's just like a really good – it's a really, really positive morning of just like getting a clear on what's going to happen that day, getting my workout done, and getting something out there, getting some value into the world before I come home. And that all requires me just to go to bed earlier. And what I find is that for every hour of sleep you get before midnight, it's the equivalent of 2 hours sleep. So that's pretty powerful. So
is that a fact?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a fact based on Chinese medicine, circadian rhythm. It's stuff that, I mean, try it for yourself. Go to bed earlier. And your body has different internal clocks, and the more sleep you get before midnight, it is supposed to be the equivalent of more sleep. You're gonna feel like you've slept longer, and because my body wakes up at 5:15 like clockwork without an alarm clock, and it's not like, oh man, it's 5:15, it's dark out, holy cow, I should try to go back to bed. I'm ready to go. I'm like, boom, popped out of bed, ready to go. So it all starts with just going to bed earlier. And I think if the earlier you go to bed, it kind of becomes addictive too, because you're like, you're waking up before the rest of the world. You go to the gym in the dark, you leave the gym, it's still dark out. You get all your stuff done. You come home, have your first meal. And then you start your work day, and you can end your work day a little earlier. You can wind down with the kids, you know. It's just something that's really created what I call the perfect day. So Great Valentine calls it that too, but it really is like the most perfect and productive day.
All right, Vince Del Monte, before we let you go, we have a few personality questions we like to ask all of our guests here on the Vision Board Podcast. I'll get it started with this one. Vince, if your three closest friends were in a room sitting at a table and you weren't there, what would they be saying about you?
Talks too much. Talks too much. He doesn't listen. And he's addicted to his phone.
Oh my god!
Standard.
You guys would get along.
Yeah, you and I. You and I are like natural friends then.
I mean, you know, I was out for my. I talked to my wife. Who better to ask than your wife for the truth, right? Yeah. So. Yeah, she says, those are the three things, the distracted, phone, and what was the first one I said? Talk too much.
Actually, just on your wife, I actually bought one of her cookbooks. It was pretty wicked.
Which one?
I bought one of her e-books, so one of her cookbook e-books. It was.
That she teamed up with a professional chef, and half of them were hers and half were the chefs. So, yeah, that cookbook's in her kitchen right here.
Yeah, it was wicked. I gave it to my mom as well. She's got a few recipes from there. She's loving it.
Oh, good. Good.
Okay, the next one, Vince, we're going to take you back to your childhood. Now, what posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
Wolverine, The Punisher. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure.
All the comic books. I had Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man. I was a comic book collector. I think I had some Star Wars. I was in X-Men. But I was really into Wolverine and The Punisher.
Yeah, it's interesting. Wolverine's Australian these days.
Right.
Yeah, big time.
And our final one. So, Vince, you're having a private dinner party. You get to invite five people. They can't be any of your friends or family, but they could be anybody dead or alive. What five people are you inviting to dinner?
Sylvester Stallone.
That's my man, too.
Here we go again. Here we go. Every podcast.
Every podcast.
Stallone gets brought up. Oh, my. This should be a drinking game. I'm dead serious.
Definitely Donald Trump.
Why not?
You gotta have Donald Trump.
He's just got so many answers at the moment. Yeah. Questions answered.
Oh man, this shouldn't be taking me so long. I feel like I gotta go on Instagram to see all the people that I follow.
Well, when John Romanello came in, he brought half the Marvel characters with him.
Yeah, he was the same sort.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did you say dead or alive?
Yeah, dead or alive, man.
I'd probably bring, oh man, dude, you guys, I'm trying to ruin the podcast here because, man, who would I, I'm thinking too hard. I Probably maybe Mark Cuban. I like to see Mark Cuban and Donald Trump go at it. I like them to go at it. Yeah. That would be funny. I would probably bring, I'm going to have to say a guy that actually is one of my biggest heroes. He's a pastor. That would be interesting. His name's Craig Groeschel. He's okay. Like your ultimate man's man. And he's got this mega church in the States called Life Church TV. And I would love to see him interact. Stallone. And then the last one, business guy. Who would be another business guy? Well, I don't know. Let's leave it at four. What about four? Is that
Gary Vee?
Branson, maybe?
Oh, Gary Vee would be funny. Yeah, he would just yap and yap. I'd love to hear Gary Vee go.
Vince, you've been amazing.
Take some more relevant guys in there. Yeah, I think that would be a pretty interesting dinner night.
Yeah, sounds like an awesome time. Now, Vince, just before you go, where can the people continue to follow you online and on social media, man?
So for Instagram, it's Vince Del Monte. For YouTube, it's Vince Del Monte. For Facebook, it's Vince Del Monte, Liz Large TV. But if you just type in Vince Del Monte, you should see the fan page come up. It's the official one. So any of those social media platforms are probably the best place to follow me. That way, if you like me, you'll eventually find some other stuff I offer. And if you don't, then I didn't waste your time.
Hey, man, time is valuable. We really appreciate you sharing this space with us, Vince, man. So thank you.
Oh, guys, thanks for having me.
Nah, definitely. Vince, it was great. We've been following you for a little while, so it was great to, after watching YouTube so much of you and following your work, it's great to actually have a chat with you, man. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Vince Del Monte, Johnny.
Yeah, man, that's one that I've been waiting to share for a while. You know better than anyone, Tristan, that we record these a little bit in advance. And it's very, I don't want to say rare, but when we have the opportunity of finish, Vince was one of these guys listening that when we finished it, we both left like, holy shit, man, there's so much in this episode. I can't wait to share it.
Yeah, in terms of takeaway points, I can't wait for the Friday wrap-up show to go into more detail about it. But, you know, there's so many takeaway points for both business owners, for people that want to get their health on track. You know, I'm sure that there's people that, you know, have been in Vinny's shoes before, the skinny guy, and, you know, maybe not getting as much attention from girls and things like that. And Vince has shown that, you know, there's different ways to do it, you know what I mean? Like, and there's a clean way to do it. You know, he did it drug-free. You know, he did his research, got help, as I know you like to say a lot, coaches,
personal development.
Like, he left us with a lot of knowledge bombs that I think people should go out. I've actually listened to the episode now a couple of times, and I've been really impressed from what he said, man. It was one of my favorite episodes to date.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to teach this course, actually, in a few weeks. And while he was giving us all this, like, mind-blowing, like, things that he was saying about the strengths. And he's also a perfect example of watching a person continually grow and not get complacent with where they are at that moment, but have a realization or an understanding of knowing that if you want to constantly get better and constantly grow, you have to constantly be learning and doing reality checks on where you are.
Definitely. Like, the fact what I really liked out of that episode was that key focus, that really narrowing down on what you're really, really good at. Sometimes we get in that mindset of trying to be good at 15 different things. But I think he's right. And, you know, for a guy that's that successful, for 2017 for him, just to really narrow it down to being good at one thing, I think it says a lot. Because at the end of the day, you know, with his sort of profile, he probably could be good at five or six different things, really. But the fact that he wants to be focused and put all his energy into that one thing, it's, you know, I'm wiring for that.
I think it's pretty interesting as well that this is what I've taken so far from our 100 plus episodes. For my own business, the three most important things that I've learned that I've been able to apply for my businesses, I've learned from guys that all know each other.
Yeah.
Valentine, Bedros, and Skinny Vinny.
Yeah, and it comes back to that kind of surround yourself with good people and it comes back to you, right, man?
You can see it, guys.
The knowledge spread between the guys. You know, they think that Bedros pretty much is their mentor. So you can kind of see that success path being passed on through, man. So, and they invest in themselves. Like they said, they're friends with Bedros, but they still paid him $30,000 a year to actually get it done. You know what I mean? Like,
and think
that's
about
respecting your friends, man.
And also sharing that knowledge, you know, not being these people to keep what they know in, but sharing it with the world. Also, it shows quite humility and quite a vulnerable approach to learning. We all want to be this expert or guru. It's one of the best things I've heard is don't, you know, be the coach. Because why? Coaches could still learn.
Yeah.
And guys, speaking of coaches, Tristan and I really want to say thank you to you guys for continually to support us. We love the feedback we've been getting, the 5-star reviews, the new subscriptions on iTunes and SoundCloud. All that gives more fuel to our fire to continually take this thing to the next level.
Yeah, definitely, guys. So big shout out to you guys. Remember to tell your friends, share it with your friends, and we'll grow this as big and bad as we can, man. But we really appreciate the support. In the meantime, you can follow Johnny on Johnny Stofko.
Yeah, Johnny Stofko, all socials. I just launched a new YouTube channel where I'll be doing little short videos, let you inside to what goes on between the coaching and consulting, also TVBP. Where are you finding Tristan Cannell?
Tristan Cannell Fitness across all channels, guys. So a few articles popping out now. So if you like reading instead of, there's different people, but I think you should consume it all.
There you go, man. We're all auditory, visual, or kinesthetics.
Definitely, guys. So we've got a few options in there for you. But yeah. Thanks for joining us again. And next week on the show, we've got a couple of different ones. We firstly got Gil Watson and UFC fighter Stephen Thompson.
Wonderboy is coming on the podcast.
We've got a big week next week, guys. So stay tuned, and we'll speak to you next week.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching a niche, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.